Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From copyblogger.com.
Hello, all you IMFSP radio listeners out there. My name is Robert Bruce, and I'm here with the founder and CEO of Copyblogger Media, Brian Clark. Brian, I don't know about you, but I've been really busy here at Copyblogger lately. And well, by here, I mean the 10 different cities across the country that CB exists in. What's the deal?
I think you know, actually, because you're working on almost everything that we've got going, as am I. We've got a lot of cool stuff going on. Probably almost a little too much, but that does keep us from getting bored.
That is for certain. Yes, you got into something today on today's post on Copyblogger. That is interesting topic: landing pages. Somewhat of a mystery to a lot of folks. You talk specifically about five things not to do, and I'll link to that in this post here. But I got a question about the big picture view. What are we trying to get at, 10,000 foot view, with a really great landing page?
Right. So the post that ran yesterday is, you know, they're pretty basic mistakes, but you see a lot of people doing them. Now, if you're a professional copywriter in the online space, you don't see them making these type of mistakes, you would hope. Sometimes they may have to convince a client that, no, we really do have to take that sidebar off. And how about, you know, we reduce the navigation on the header and, you know, all these type of things that don't sound right, perhaps, to the client. But someone who is well versed in copywriting and conversion, they know that these things matter. So those are basic things, little things, design elements. Fundamentally, of course, headlines, of course, you know, not caring enough about making sure that your message is simple, clear, and focused, which was kind of my fifth point about don't be lazy, don't take it for granted, or as I put it, don't drink your own Kool-Aid, because we all think we're great, right? And the thing that that I think keeps you humble and effective is realizing that, you know, other people don't care as much as you think they might until you make them care. So those are some of the basic mistakes that can just kind of crush an otherwise good offer, whether it be for a free white paper or you're actually trying to sell a product or service or try to get someone to call you up, fill out a lead gen form, whatever it may be, the action that you're trying to get. But from an overall standpoint, there's more to making a great landing page than not making obvious mistakes, of course, right?
Yep.
So the true art of effective landing pages is really kind of a fairly serious three-step process. And believe it or not, I've actually written about that before, but some people may not have made the connection, and it was not that long ago in a post I did called How to Craft a Marketing Story That People Embrace and Share. And that was during our storytelling week on Copyblogger that you kicked off with your dissection of David Mamet's memo to his television staff, right? That was a great post. And then Sonia followed that up, and I followed it up, and it was kind of what we're trying to do this year on Copyblogger is to have somewhat of a theme for each week so that people are getting a more comprehensive snapshot of what we're trying to convey. Anyway, so
let's get into that post. And I will, again, for everybody listening, I'll link this up exactly. It was a couple weeks ago. But in that, I'd like to see this connection that you're talking about. You made these three great points, and we'll go one by one. But number one, the first kind of point you made is know your audience.
Right. Okay. So whether you're crafting a screenplay or producing a television show or writing a novel, writing a piece of investigative journalism or writing copy, you have to know who you're writing for, right? It's just basic step number one. And, you know, the parallel to copywriting is you're always telling a story, which is the point I tried to make in that post in the lead, which was, even if you don't think you're telling a story, you are. You're just probably not telling a very good one if you don't know it, right? Because you need to be, you know, a great screenwriter who just throws up on the page is not going to come up with the next Pulp Fiction or Lost in Translation, right? It's not going to happen. So, yeah, number one, and this applies to landing pages, you know, which is really online. That's where the most intensive skilled copywriting needs to happen. Because, again, you're primarily focused on specific important action designed to promote your business, your cause, whatever. You know, your average blog post, we always say to have some action too, which is usually to get someone to follow you over time. This is the stuff that's the next step when these people maybe are following you over time or whatever the traffic source, you're trying to get them to do something specific. So number one, you know, and I said in that post, put me up against the greatest writer in the world. And if I understand the audience better, I win, you know, because it's not about necessarily wordsmithing at that point. It's about knowing how to speak to people. If you're a very eloquent person who doesn't understand that you are completely offending the person you're talking to at the cocktail party by bringing up your love for Sarah Palin, you know, y'all aren't going to get along. Okay.
So, yeah.
And we've all had that instance where we put our foot in our mouths in a public social situation. And really that's what you do when you don't know your audience, you don't know who you're talking to. You are completely just missing the mark with people who land on that page. So
are we in danger talking about this kind of thing, knowing your audience and playing to them generally? Is there any kind of danger of the whole idea of the great big sellout here? What do you think of that?
I never understood that concept. I mean, if you're in business, you get money by providing value to others. That means you're serving others. And yet, what, you just want to say whatever you want?
You know,
expect that to happen?
This is more pervasive, obviously, on the arts side of things.
Yeah, but it's the same thing.
But, right, I'm beginning to hear this more and more in business and entrepreneurial folks.
Yeah, if you're writing the great American novel, you're either connecting with the audience at a strong emotional level, i.e. serving their needs, or you're not. Now, whether you did it on accident or on purpose, I think is the difference between an amateur and a pro, right? I once did a post about J.D. Salinger and Catcher in the Rye and compared it to marketing, which some people might find just completely provocative. But, you know, J.D. Salinger was a master. I mean, he knew what he was doing. That's why Catcher in the Rye is so brilliant. Maybe he felt after gaining that much popularity, because he wasn't seeking fame. He was seeking to write a great novel. And it was so great that he went into reclusion because he was like, okay, I did that and leave me alone.
Yeah, right.
So that's a different concept there. Basically, you know, we do make many comparisons to the artistic endeavor and the entrepreneurial endeavor, the copywriting skills, because if you're doing really great work, it is an art form. Seth Godin made that point in Lynchpin, I think, better than anyone has. In a business context, you have to know who you're talking to very intimately, so that you can speak to them from ground zero in a way that's not going to just make them go, well, see ya.
What if you're a person, small business, kitchen table business even, what if you don't have an audience? How do we know if you don't have an audience to ask, if you don't have an audience to understand with, you know, feedback and those general kinds of things we think about and talk about, how do you know where to go? How do you know them?
Right. Okay. So, you know, we use the term audience and people automatically think of, you know, a blog following, an existing content marketing subscriber list, right? And we do recommend that that's your overall strategy, and that once you do drive traffic to a landing page, they already know you, they trust you, you're 85% of the way there, and you just have to not bone it up, you know, just not completely miss the mark. But the use of the term audience can also mean prospective audience, or who are you trying to reach? And again, you see people make horrible marketing mistakes because they come up with something that they want to make or a service they want to provide, and then they go try to find someone who wants it instead of the other way around, which is find out what people want and find a way to match up what you can make or you can offer to that. So basically online, you have said it a million times, social media is the greatest free market research tool ever. I mean, it's also more effective. Like, you know, focus groups don't work because people will tell you what you want to hear, or they'll say something that makes them look good instead of being honest. And that's where the expression comes from, that the only marketing genius is the guy who knows when he's going to pull out his wallet and buy something, because that's where the rubber hits the road right there. That's what really matters.
Not what they say, but what
they actually do. Exactly. But barring that, being able to watch people in a natural and unscripted environment, such as social media, you know, places like Facebook, Twitter search, which is incredibly powerful because you can actually search for the language that is relevant to what you're researching and find out what people are saying. But, you know, any great copywriter starts with research. They have to understand what they're selling, and they have to understand who they're selling it to. If you are a blogger or an entrepreneur who's writing your own copy and content, it's the same thing. You have to do that research. You have to know. And another good byproduct of content marketing is over time, it just seeps into you because you're always observing. You're always watching comments. You're watching what people say on Twitter. Hopefully you're doing some other forms of relevant online research. You know, between Google and social media, there's really no excuse for not doing your homework.
Could you say that if you're writing to the wrong people, I mean, the greatest copywriter in the world writing to the wrong people is going to have horrible results, right? And vice versa. If you're writing to the correct people, I mean, you could almost, this is not literal, but almost write anything and it's going to convert, in this case, on a landing page. In other words, this is so important. This point is so important. Knowing who you're.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you can write, you know, again, it doesn't come down to necessarily word choice if you understand, you know, what someone wants more than anything. A good example is, you know, a horribly scrawled in pencil message with spelling errors and grammatical. It's just a mess on the back of a small piece of paper that says, "Turn this over. It's a winning lottery ticket." Right? That's the equivalent there.
That's
so
awesome. Yeah.
The better you know your audience, the more leeway you have. Now, you know, does that mean that doing a great job will get you even better results? Yeah, it will. So, but you're right. If you get number one right, it's a lot easier to succeed.
Okay, we got to move on let's go to the second point you made in this post from a few weeks ago. So we've got know your audience, and then we get into a situation where we need to select our frame, is what you say.
Right. So, okay, this is an outgrowth of what you learned in the first step, which is once you know the audience, you know, what you're really doing there is you understand how those people view the world. And another thing I say all the time is be your own market. You know, choose what you're truly into, what you're truly passionate about, because number one becomes a lot easier because you are the audience, right? You have to be careful there because not everything that you think and feel is going to match up with the broader group. So, and I see that mistake all the time. So you still have to do your research and find out how you're alike, how you're different, and then focus on the ways in which you're alike. So the whole point of selecting a frame is to make to craft an overall message strategy for your landing page that matches up with the worldview of the people you're trying to reach, which is they believe certain things. And in this day and age of niche marketing and highly opinionated everyone, you know, you're never going to match up with too many people that way. But thanks to the internet, we can build that little tribe or reach that type of person with that worldview. Because some people think, for example, they hear the word green and they immediately think of social consciousness, environmental protection, doing good things, being a good citizen, protecting the world for future generations. And other people who hear that think communists, socialists, bastards who want to take my job, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a completely different worldview. So you have to be okay with the fact that you're going to speak to the worldview of the people you're dealing with and forget all the rest of them. And again, this goes back to a basic content marketing strategy. On a landing page, though, it's just laser focused. It's compact and it's designed to get someone to take action.
So speaking to even the idiosyncrasies of a particular person or group that you're talking to and speaking their language, I mean...
That's exactly two great points, idiosyncrasies and the language they use. And that's what you figure out in part one. And that's why, again, we go back to it. Yep. It's so important. Even if you don't write well, if you use the language they use, then you're going to have a better connection. Simple as that. If you write badly and use words that they don't like or just are, you know, ambivalent about, then you've lost them. If you understand who you're talking to, you will naturally craft a message. You'll just begin to speak to them in a way that matters. And this is, you know, again, we say this all the time. Talk about keyword research. People are like, oh, that's just SEO and it's crap and it's horrible content. Yeah. No, it's not at all. It's the language that your audience is using. Now, if you don't think about it that way and you think about it in terms of keyword stuffing, then yes, it's horrible. But it's not the practice that's bad. It's the way it's used by some people who are clueless and not as effective as they used to be.
Let's get to number three. You say choose your premise. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so you know your audience, you understand their worldviews, you know what they believe, and therefore you know how to frame or narrow the information that needs to be presented to them in order to get them to take action, right? Mm-hmm. And again, within this is a big picture approach. You know, you've got your basic copywriting techniques that fit into the execution of this. But so the frame is just the kind of the viewpoint and the laser focus on a worldview that says, hey, I'm like you and I've got something that is for you, right? Okay. So the premise is the execution of all that, of the execution of the message that is going to get the landing page visitor to take action. And sometimes it can be kind of a fine distinction here, but you know, I in the post, again, I use the concept of, okay, so I mentioned Pulp Fiction earlier. You could tell that same story in a linear time frame with lame dialogue and, you know, it's still the same information, but it's not Pulp Fiction. It's not, you know, a groundbreaking movie.
Yep.
So that's really the thing about the premise. You know, simplified people will refer to it as the hook or the angle, the USP, the purple cow. This has really been something that, you know, once it clicks for you, you can still study all the copywriting techniques in the world, and you should, implement them and use them. But once you understand how this works within this three-step frame, that's when it all falls into place. And it happened to me years ago. I mean, I was writing decent copy before I really understood what I was doing, which is fine, you know, because doing is the most important part. But then once I understood it about 5 years ago, I've really been kind of working through it the whole time I've been publishing CopyBlogger, because understanding what you're doing and doing what you're doing is not the same as teaching someone else how to do it, right? And I think this is why there's been so many books written in one way or another dancing around this topic. Again, copywriting books, marketing books, screenwriting books, fiction writing books, everything across the field is talking about that, the expression of the frame that is engaging in a way that accomplishes your goals. Now, this is where it differs from a screenplay or a novel or something like that, because in copywriting, in direct response copywriting, which is what you use on landing pages because you want action. Remember, response equals some form of action. In this case, the premise has to be the angle, whatever you want to call it, that hooks attention and carries it through every element of whatever that particular landing page needs to have to work, and connects it directly with the action. And that's how it's different from a novel or a film that doesn't ask you to do anything, right?
I'm going to put you on the spot here. Can you give us one example that you've seen out in the wild?
Yes, of course. I've seen it in every great bit of copywriting ever done. Again, I think great copywriters understand how to do this over time. I just don't think it's ever been explained all that well. And maybe that's just from my standpoint. But let's take the Internet Marketing for Smart People sign up page.
Yeah.
You lead with a concept that starts at the headline, which is a promise and an attention grabber that says you don't have to be a genius to master internet marketing. Right below that, there's a picture of Albert Einstein. The opening basically continues the premise by saying you don't have to be Einstein to get this, but you'd have to be an idiot to trust some of these internet marketing gurus. Mm. I mean, right there, we are catering to a worldview. We are framing it. We are creating an us against them situation. And of course, not all internet marketers are bad. Most of them are really good, ethical people. There's a few out there that make it, you know, the whole industry look bad. But nonetheless, that's a worldview that a lot of the copy blogger audience has. And then it carries through directly through the four pillars of what we stand for, and two calls to action to sign up on that page. Talk about a meta description.
Yeah, right.
But that's an example. Is that the absolute best example of the premise ever made? Probably not. I think there's lots of others, but every piece of copy I write has that element. And all I can say is that tens of thousands of people found it convincing enough to sign up for. So
yeah. And this, I think what I was getting at, or trying to get at not very clearly is, this is nothing new. I mean, these ideas and this concept in particular, I mean, this is ancient.
Fundamentally, this goes back to principles that Aristotle taught in rhetoric, right? Again, it's what makes people pay attention to you and do what you want, right? I mean, that was the underlying principle of all rhetoric. You know, nowadays rhetoric is considered a bad political word, but back then it just meant persuasive, you know, writing and speaking. So, fundamentally, no. We've been taking that position for 5 years, that fundamentally persuasion is persuasion, and only the context and the technology and, you know, of course, the mindset of the group of people you're trying to reach is always fluid. That's why, go back to step one, know your audience, right? But that was true even back then, you know, with the Greeks and the Romans. They understood who they were talking to and therefore chose the premise that was most likely to get them the conclusion they want. And that's a little logical definition of premise. It's the underlying concept theme that gets you to the conclusion step by step.
You're going to leave us hanging there?
Oh, yeah. It's taken me pretty much 5 years to figure out how to teach this. But, yeah, I'll just knock it out here in the next 2 minutes. No.
All right. I'm not going to pretend that I don't know what's coming or what's going on around here. But what can you tell us about it and how let's get into how some folks can, if they're interested in this, learn more about it.
Well, yeah. So tying together what we just talked about, and we're going to link to the other article, and maybe you can read it again with a new frame now that I've now that I've shown that storytelling and great landing page copy are similar in the way that they're constructed. Combine that with the post we did yesterday on landing page mistakes, and if you put all that together, you're going to make a lot better landing pages. So as I kind of teased in the bottom of yesterday's post, we're going to be releasing some new software for WordPress that helps you build really great landing pages without making any of the typical mistakes, without the pain that usually comes from trying to work within a typical WordPress theme. And also, including with it really cool things like built-in copywriting advice so you can get the fundamentals down, integrated testing for split testing within WordPress. We've got conversion optimization seminars with some of the top names in the business. And yeah, it's all going to be one bundle of things combined with, to answer your actual question, Robert, the premise approach to landing page copy, where I will finally express my thoughts clearly.
Is this everything? This. Everything's going to be lit.
Right, right. So, yeah, we're hoping to get and coincidentally, the software is called Premise because the whole thing is so central to the concept of the premise that we decided to name it that. So we're hoping to launch in February. We're just kind of putting some final touches on things, getting things tested, all that good stuff. But we are going to, we're not doing some big out in the world launch for it. The only people that are going to get a shot at the introduction to Premise, as well as like a ridiculously good deal, because we always do our initial customers right on any new product that we launch. So only the Internet Marketing for Smart People subscribers will be in on this. They'll also get some landing page tutorials before we launch. So even if you decide not to buy, you're going to be getting some great landing page value there. And that's all I can tell you. I'm going to be talking more about landing pages for Internet Marketing for Smart People subscribers. That's in addition to the 20-part course that you get and the ongoing advice that we give specifically to those people. So there, as always, there's a link to sign up for that in this post. If you're not in the post listening, you can go to CopyBlogger and find the post, or you can look over in the right sidebar, and there is now an ad there for Premise. And if you click that ad, you'll go to the Premise holding page, which ask you to sign up for Internet Marketing for Smart People so we can tell you about when it's available. So basically that's it. That's my big pitch.
Cool. Cool. Little two for one. And we'll be talking about this stuff more as we go through the weeks here. Number one, because it is really important stuff, but then leading up to this really, really great solution that we've all been working on for some time. So all right. Thanks for listening, everybody out there. And Brian, thanks, man. We will continue this, and I will see you next week.
Thanks, Robert.
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From CopyBlogger.com.